Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Kitchen Garden Magazine podcast, your fortnightly fix of gardening features, advice and chat. Subscribe and follow us now to never miss an episode.
Rob Smith, from gliding high in the sky at the early part of his working life in the airline business, it's certainly been an exciting few years, from winning the BBC Big Allotment Challenge. He's now a veritable globe-trotting veg hunter, although never happier than on his new plot and his hometown of Sheffield. He is now more used to working below ground level, introducing us to the wonderful world of heritage vegetables and how allotments should be a harmonious mix of veg, flowers, wildlife, quite simply, anything else you want to grow on your patch. I was thinking, you're actually still the reigning Big Allotment Challenge winner.
I will be forevermore known as.
Will be, because I don't think they're going
to... there's no more.
I don't think it's ever going to be done. I mean, it's a shame, but I don't think it's going to be done again.
No, we were talking about this the other day, because when I was doing some other filming with someone else, they were saying, how long was it? And it was just such a long process for a TV programme.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
Because it's a growing season, they could film, like, they filmed the entire bake-off within 6 weeks, whereas we were filming for 6 to 7 months. Yeah. So there's a big, big difference, and the cost of it all and everything is massive.
Yeah, because am I right in thinking it was based not far from me? Was it Reading? It was in somewhere near Reading?
It was Maple Durham. Yeah. Yes. Maple Durham. So it's not that far from you at all, yeah.
I was going to enter it, except the exclusion was, unfortunately, since I left school, I've been a gardener. And that was one of the exclusions. You weren't allowed to be a professional, which is fair enough. You and some of your competitors, as you say, Arika's still about, and I think Tony's part of Kitchen Garden.
Yeah, right? Tony's the, I think yeah, he's the, one of the writers for that, yeah.
You've used it as a good launch pad.
Yeah, it's been good.
Was it 4 years ago? Five?
It was 2015.
Yeah. And you're only 21, Rob.
So, I know, just. I dye it this colour, my hair.
It's the look people want nowadays, isn't it?
Exactly. Platinum blonde.
Yeah. Do you have any great memories from it? Because I say you were working with, you obviously had the lovely Fern Britton was there, but you're someone like Jim Buttress, which must be great to see him as such.
Yeah, it was.
Personal.
It's quite funny with them, to be honest, because I remember one day we were supposed to be, it wasn't judging, but Jim was supposed to be coming round and having a look around the plots and everything as he used to. And they came round and said, we're going to delay it a bit because we can't find Jim. He'd gone round the other side of the house because Maple Durham's just near the Thames. Mm. And he'd laid down on a chair, took his watch off, put it on his chest and fallen asleep on this bench. Oh. And they had to send someone to go and find him.
That's when you live in the life, that is. That's what you can do.
Exactly. You just go to sleep.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a wonderful thing to watch. Shame it won't be back on, but yeah, these things happen, as you say, with television. Time is money.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, that's excellent. Right. You've moved on quite a bit, because I notice you're on Channel 4 now. You're not just a social media superstar. You're on Channel 4s now as well. You're the resident... go-to gardener.
Yeah, for I do that on the Steph show. Steph's packed lunch at lunchtime. So yeah, I've been up there a few times, and they've come down here to film and see how you do stuff and what you're supposed to do in the garden as well. Because I guess it's quite difficult. They're based in Leeds docks, so unless it's something you can do on a table or like in a small area, it's really difficult to show what you'd actually do in a garden. So it's fine if you've got a window box or house plants or anything, but that's why they came down here to film as well.
I was going to say, I think they do house plants with Michael Perry, don't they?
Yeah.
Another one of my On the Grapevine. I'm not trying to draw a conclusion here, but you come on the Grapevine and you get yourself a spot on Channel 4. But yes, I think he does the indoor plant, which is more
than he does.
Thing. I think he's only just got a garden, which would obviously flex. But because obviously, since I first spoke to you, you were having to go down the allotment. And has it been a big, I mean, you've obviously got your lovely new allotment now, and I've seen the pictures, it looks wonderful. Has it been a big change moving from the allotment? I mean, obviously growing is slightly different, but suddenly being your own, and it's outside your back door to a certain extent. And the people, because obviously you're now a little bit more solitary.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to it. So I ended up moving from the allotment because I started off with one, then I had one and a half, then two allotments. And after I'd won the big allotment challenge and stuff, it got a little bit difficult because it got vandalised a couple of times.
I remember
the shed got broken into. Someone came and they ruined all the crops. Like they'd pick them up and throw them around, stuff like that. So it got to a stage where you didn't want to leave anything there, even though the shed was locked. You didn't. It took forever to fill the car with all your good spades and everything and take them to the allotment. And it got to the stage where we were looking at moving house anyway. So we ended up looking for a house, looking for the land that the house had rather than the house. So got this house and the house just needed totally redoing. It was knocked back to four walls. So while we were doing the garden, we were also doing the house. It's a lot more solitary because I do miss the people that I used to have a chat with on the allotment, but it's really good just being able to wander out the back door for half an hour at lunch and do a bit of weeding. Or just go and pick something for your tea, or like go and get a cauliflower or dig some potatoes up for your tea, rather than have to think about it and then drive home and think, oh, bugger, I forgot to get those potatoes after all this.
Carrots,
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, you're exactly the same as me because I'm in the process of moving and I had to give up. I gave it up in October because I thought, give it to someone else. The subs are in. And as you say, it's that little bit. And sometimes you want to go and do, I've got 20 minutes, half an hour, I need to go and do that. And you found out you never did it because I was right at the bottom of the allotment. And you can guarantee that there'll be two or three people.
Oh, it'd take you 20 minutes to get to your plot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Lovely. You said it would be, I've actually assumed nothing. So, the place we're moving to, I've got to start, I'm a bit like you. I'm not as grand as yours, I had to add, but I will be having a little allotment off the side of the house. I've always wanted it. And it's often because I do this for a living, as in landscaping and gardening, some evenings you don't really want to go out, load up the van, drive down there, through the gate.
Exactly. Getting out of the car, unlock the gates, and then getting back in when you've opened it. And that used to drive me up the wall, just opening the gate and shutting it after me. And it's the smallest thing in the world, but it used to really wind me up.
I must admit, I can't complain about that because the council actually fitted an automatic one. She pressed a little bleeper and it did it.
Oh, lovely.
I don't think they did it to us. It was next door to the football club. So I think they did it more for them, but we kind of like took off of it. So, it's a nice thing to have, shall we say, is how we say. Yeah. So you're doing your, I say, you're on the Channel 4. I worked out earlier, you've got over 55,000 followers on your social media. So if you combine your Twitter and Instagram, you're well over, which is very, very impressive. Did you ever think you'd get that sort of following?
I don't think you sort of do. I remember because I started my Twitter years and years ago, and you just used to put your ramblings on, don't you, really? And I think it, because obviously with Kitchen Garden and Garden News and everything, now when I do the articles, I take the photos as well, or my friend Darren takes the photos when we're allowed people around. I think the better you get with the photos, and phones have got better and how you take a photo, lure people in as well to actually comment on things as well. So it's not just the musings inside my head sometimes, it's actually the photos as well.
I think ultimately that's what people, a customer told me years ago, people buy people. You can, yes. You can sell anything you want. It doesn't matter what the product is.
Yeah.
A salesman, for instance, you might go in wanting an iPhone and they'll sell you an Android, for instance. But people buy people. It's the person they buy. It's not necessarily the product. It's the person.
Yeah.
I think that's obviously, you're an engaging chap. So I think people buy you. That's what they're buying. Rob thinks so.
And they get buy one, get one free. They get Winston as well.
Well, it's how is Winston? I see they've been getting a bit grumpy lately.
Oh, he's always moody. He always looks like that. He's just one of these dogs that looks so moody, but he's a lovely little dog. He's always happy, but he's his resting face is not happy, shall we say?
What's going to say? He's must be, how old is he now? He must be.
He's 10 in May. Yeah, he'll be 10 in May. Ooh. Yeah, so we're looking at getting him a little friend as very well. Nice. But we'll see how that goes in the new year.
He might not like that actually.
Yeah, take it away from him.
Competition, I believe, yes. Yes, I remember.
But no, he loves the garden because obviously he used to love the allotment. Yeah. But I don't know how your allotment is, but mine used to have the lane up the side. And some of the people who used to have the allotments up the top, they used to come bombing up there, even though it's supposed to be 5 miles an hour. They'd be doing 30, 40 miles an hour and just go everywhere. And I was always paranoid he was going to get splattered. Whereas now in the back garden, it's all enclosed in. So he's just wandering around with me all day.
I see he vandalises your crops. You don't need any...
No, he does, he digs, he does the taste test, definitely does the taste test on absolutely everything,
Yeah, and then he spits out that's fine. Yeah,
it's quite good, though, because you literally have, if it's above 2 feet, you're absolutely fine. But from ground to 2 feet high, anything that's hanging there, like, what do they say, low-hanging fruit, he's just had it all. He just has it.
That's it, because I always used to think, because I grow my carrots and parsnips in the big 210-litre barrels.
Yeah.
Carrot fly. Except I didn't realise, it's only this year, some deer got in and they stripped it. I came in one morning and thought, who's neatly cut off, beautifully cut off, about 2 inches tall, all my carrots and parsnips?
And I couldn't they're just eating all the tops off them all?
Yeah, basically, they just nibbled them. I mean, they all came back and they've all been fine. But I came in one day thinking, I've got a giant rabbit, kind of like 4 foot tall, or say,
it can jump quite high.
It was a little roe deer got in, and I'm gauging she was pregnant because we've seen the little kids, because she moved on to the beans after that. It wasn't just me.
Yeah.
It moved on. So, but that was fun because I thought, I don't really want to put a 6 foot deer fence around my lot.
No. We struggle with squirrels. So we've got a resident squirrel that we've called Dave. And you know when Dave's about because Winston goes mental. He goes absolutely crazy running around the garden trying to get him. But you see the tiny little holes that are probably, about 6-7 centimetres wide and a couple of centimetres deep. They're just digging everywhere, just trying to look for stuff. And they'll come right down by the house and they go in the pots and they try and dig the bulbs out, the tulips and everything, and eat them. So we've had to put big, thick layers of gravel on top of everything. Well, like pea gravel to try and stop them.
They are a bunch. Yeah, I've got a Cocker Spaniel. Bella, she's always got a sad face, which makes people think that, she hasn't been fed, she's been for a
while. Yeah, exactly. Woe is me.
We've got Gordon, the garden squirrel. He may have been the same one, but he runs across the back, but she goes mad for him. She'll never catch him, but she runs after him and barks at him, and he just looks kind of ambivalent from the tree, as if to say...
Yeah, well, that's what little Dave does. He'll sit on the fence, and because it's a 6 foot fence, he'll just sit there twitching his tail, staring at Winston while Winston's spinning round, going mental and barking.
That's it. Yeah, might be the same squirrel. You never know.
Same attitude.
Because I say, has Winston still got his Twitter account? Because he was in danger of overhauling you.
He has. It's not being used for. No. Quite a few years, shall we
say. I think you shut it down, Rob, because you were worried. Because you're not people like with animals. They're
animals. Yeah, and his agent gets quite fussy as well about different things than what's mentioned.
I think you shut him down to... Wait, I'm the number one here, mate. Monty has the same problem as well with his dogs. They start taking over unless they come to the main thing. This is it. You just got to keep them under control.
I know.
We'll chat about your, because you're a big fan of heritage seeds, aren't you? And you're a seed guardian.
Yeah.
Are they the seed guardian? Can you explain a bit more about that? Because people can get involved themselves a little bit with that, can't they?
Yeah. So there's a charity called the Garden Organic. So it's the biggest organic charity in Europe. And you can join Garden Organic and you get the tips and you get all their fact sheets and everything. So quite good. All about organic and becoming more organic. Not saying that you have to do absolutely everything organic, but it's a journey on becoming more organic. And then you can go, what you can do is you can become part of the Heritage Seed Library, which is part of Garden Organic. And you obviously you pay for that towards the charity, you donate towards the charity, and they'll send you 6 packs of rare vegetable seeds for the year. So I think it's tomorrow, 1st of December, the list comes out. So with all the rare stuff, and it's all things that you can't buy in like shops, or you can't buy from seed companies. There are old varieties that have either been dropped by the seed companies or have never been in seed companies. So it might have been, I don't know, Auntie Ethel grew a bean from some church for the last 300 years, and it's a brilliant variety, so they try and keep it going. It's to stop these old vegetable varieties going extinct. So they have those, and then one step further are the seed guardians. There's about 180 of us in the country, so we get the really rare veg, we will grow it, and then we send the seeds back to the Heritage Seed Library. Because if you think about it, we're saving these seeds from going extinct, but if you've just grown them and you keep them for 10, 20 years, they're going to die, they're never going to grow. So you're constantly having to renew the seeds that are in the library, otherwise they're going to die. So yeah, we get the really rare ones, and we'll grow them, take photos of them for Garden Organic, maybe try them, but not eat many of them, and then send all the seeds back.
Yeah, because am I right in thinking? Because a lot of these seeds, if they drop off a seed catalogue and it's not carried by anyone, as you say, it literally, it goes.
Yeah, they can disappear.
It can vanish. If they're not carrying it, it's gone.
And it's all going to get it's all going to get really, really complicated from the 1st of January as well, because obviously, because we... with Brexit, instead of using the European catalogue.
10 minutes in and Brexit, that's the first name. Oh.
But with the European seed catalogue, obviously, we used to be able to, anything that was on that catalogue, we used to be able to sell in the UK. And now we won't be part of the EU. Yeah. We have to go from the national listing, which is a British one, a UK-based one. So if things aren't listed in that, they shouldn't be for sale. So, yeah. It could be complicated, yeah.
Yeah, do you think, there's lots of things with garden and nature, obviously. No one would want to be a prime minister as such. Do you think enough's being done for, because obviously farmers are very much subsidised by the EU, and all this is going to maybe vanish, maybe not. The problem is there's all lots of small talk or in the fine detail. And do you think things like that on that front is that people maybe don't think about it? They just think, oh, I'll order my seeds from whoever. And actually, they've actually got to think about that these things might become a lot more difficult, or the quality might drop, for instance.
I think a lot of things will become more expensive, simply because there are more tests and checks and tick boxes and things to get things into the country, especially with plants as well. So there's all the plant passports in, there's the phytosanitary certificates and everything that need to be completed. And if there are, you imagine if there are delays and things at ports. Now, if you've got plants in a lorry for 5 days stuck at Calais, what's it going to be like when they open that van back up?
I don't want to think
so. So actually getting things in to the country is going to be difficult. All these extra things like plant passports or the new way of doing things and the new certificates that are needed all cost money. Yeah. All these companies are going to need somebody to do that paperwork, so they're going to have to pay for their time. So I think we could see things going up in price simply for what's happening. So, if you can get things that are, say, grown in the UK or produced in the UK, it's going to be easier, because it's not as if, I don't know, let's say you're in Reading, I'm in Yorkshire. There's not going to be a border between the two of us to stop a lorry and check the paperwork. Whereas coming from wherever in Europe, there is going to be now.
Like I say, do you think it's an opportunity? I mean, unfortunately, things like seeds, it's not a thing you can go, oh, I think I'll sell some of those. It's going to take you a bit like a planting trees for truffles or something like that, or having a Christmas tree farm. You need to be thinking 5, 10, 15 years. It's not an instant thing. But do you think it's an opportunity because I say there is there's a bit in the press at the moment that certain bigger companies are buying up certain, not necessarily small companies, but the kind of breadth. I mean, I'm not going to say any names, but there are some big seed companies buying up some smaller versions of them. And some people are happy, but a lot of people are like, oh, I quite like that, because it was a bit like, oh, I felt like more of a local company, even if it's not local to you. I'm more of a cottagey type industry, but part of that, unfortunately, just is life. Big companies buy smaller companies. That's what they do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And as you say, but do you think there is that opportunity out there for someone, if they thought about it, or maybe a collective of people to kind of get together? I mean, I know Gordon Organic, because I think their actual base is pretty close to me in Chertsey, if I'm right.
They used to be based at Brighton Gardens. Hmm. But I think is it University of Warwick are now buying that site? And they're I don't know how they're restructuring, but the gardens have been bought for certain bits. They're trying to concentrate on a more national scale rather than just concentrate all their efforts on writing.
I think they're a very good company to buy seed from anyway, because a lot of people, as you say, want the organic seed, and you need a company like that to do it. Without being rude, some larger companies will say a bit like the I suppose you're going to a supermarket, you've only got their word that it's organic, and then you kind of sit there and wonder sometimes how organic is something that's been grown in Kenya or something.
Well, when you think about it, though, you have got, for especially for organic seeds and organic plants, there is trackable certification for everything. So in the UK, obviously, you've got the Soil Association or OF&G, which is Organic Farmers and Growers. So that's certified, and you've got to be certified by them. Yeah. You can't just put that sticker on, so to speak. And then in Europe, you get the bio leaf. So if you've ever seen a pack of seeds or anything with a little green leaf that's got the European star circle, that's their certification. So that's all legally bound, so it has to be organic. So there are ways of tracking it, but I know what you mean about how it will work with different companies, shall we say. So there are a lot of smaller ones that are really good, and based in the UK as well, and you can find them. And another thing to do, though, is don't forget, if you've bought seed and you've enjoyed the vegetables you're growing, as long as it's not an F1, why not save your own seed? It's the easiest thing in the world.
You've just come I've written about that, the how what you buy in a supermarket or a greengrocer necessarily isn't the best. They buy it because it looks nice on the shelf. Does it store well? Does it travel
exactly?
Well? Whereas actually, there's the older vegetables out there that maybe don't store very well, or don't travel very well, but they might have twice the flavour, but they just don't suit what a supermarket requires. A lot different to me or you growing in our gardens.
And that's the thing. Yeah. A supermarket will go for let's take cauliflowers. They want them all to grow as quick as they can. They want to be able to harvest them all at the same time. They want them all to be nice and the leaves quite tight to cover the curds so that it protects it from the weather. Whereas for a gardener, I don't want all my cauliflowers to be ready within a week. My God, can you imagine the smell of the house?
Same with cabbages. I remember when I got my allotment back when I was 16, so 30-odd years ago. I'll give me age away. And I put raised beds in, and they were using, well, old son, is it stamp collecting next year type thing? And I remember they used to grow rows, like a row of 50 cabbages, and they give most of them away. And I think part of it is you're growing it because you enjoy it, which is absolutely fine. Yeah. It's a hobby to a lot of people. But you did used to sit there and think there was no that kind of like do a little bit, do a little run of five, do another five in 2 weeks' time. They were very much the old-fashioned sort of ways. Oh, no, we all sow them at the same time and do them. And then you're kind of like, but you're growing it for everyone else, or a lot of them, to be honest. I noticed ended up on the compost bin.
Yeah, plowed back in.
How many cabbages or cauliflowers in them?
But the best thing to do is, like you say, you either do it successionally, you do it a few now and again, or when you're looking at these varieties, look for anything that says it stands well. Because if it stands well, it means it's not going to split, it's not going to blow as quick. So, you might start harvesting your cauliflowers, but if they'll stay in your bed for 2 months without discolouring or starting to flower, that's perfect, because then you can grow more of them at once. And what works for you and what you like is the thing to grow and the thing to save. So
they're local things as well. You cut just because you're growing compared to mine are a world away. I probably get a longer summer, although this summer's been pretty exceptional. But I think that's the thing, is you take guidance from people in books, and as you say, you read on media, but what you've got to do is always adapt something to your local growing conditions and what works well for you. Some people can't grow brassicas. No. I got sandy soil, so then it's not the best soil to grow brassicas on. Whereas then again, I can go and I can go and mow my lawn 10 minutes after it's been pouring the rain for 48 hours. Swings and roundabouts. Yeah, as you say. Because there's another thing. I've written about it before in the little local bits I do. Is this thing about organic, is the things built up around about it. I often think sometimes, yes, organic, but sometimes fresh and local is maybe better than organic that's travelled 2,000 miles to get to you. Strawberries are a classic example. You eat them often very much out of season because people want to. Where do you think the happy medium is? Because obviously I think fresh and local is the way forward.
I think it is personal choice what people want to do. To be honest, because some people want to eat wholly organic because they don't want things sprayed with certain bits and bobs or anything like that, or treated in different ways. But just because they aren't certified organic doesn't mean that they have been sprayed. So it could be just somebody who doesn't want to pay the thousands of pounds to get organically certified, but they grow organically, or they grow biodynamically, or they grow on a certain way. And yeah, like you say, if it's seasonal and it's local, that's the best things you can go for. Obviously, if things are sprayed with God knows what, it's not always the best way to go forward and the best way to eat. And I personally wouldn't myself, but that's all personal choice, because that could be cheaper for somebody who is on a lower income. And just because it has been sprayed doesn't necessarily mean those things are bad for you, because otherwise they wouldn't be in our food chain. Well, so it depends what your ethos is, how much money you've got, what you believe in, how quick it is, how easy it is for people. Yeah. And the ultimate way is to actually try and grow as much you can yourself with as little chemical inputs as you can, and organically as you can, and easily as you can, and then go from there. That's the ideal for me. That's what I try and do. Yeah. And if not, I try and eat seasonally and eat things that are produced locally.
Yeah. Because the other thing I think about when people often ask me, oh, you do that, is I can buy things like carrots. You can buy a kilo of carrots for a ridiculous, especially if you go to
like 39p or whatever, can't
you? Yeah, the Aldi's and the Lidl's of the world, that kind of scaled down supermarket. There's no, it's just like put on the shelf. They can, but I say to people, it's not about, you don't necessarily save money, because if you take into account your personal, I mean, no one ever takes into account their own personal time.
Yeah.
Probably should do, but it's not about that. The part of it is, it's not a money saving scheme. It's the difference in varieties,
etc.
And obviously, the goodness, you'll get growing. Just do it, even if you're doing something like a no dig thing, you're still actively having to do quite a lot of work to keep on top.
Yeah. Well, just think that no one in this country has to grow their own food to survive.
No.
It's not like it was during the Second World War, where we had to try and supplement our diets, and that's why we had all the allotments. So it is a choice to do it. It gets you out, it gets you active, you actually start learning things and you know what you're doing. And I think if you become more invested and you're growing your food, like let's take your carrots for example, you dig them up. Well, if they've got a little snail hole in them or a slug hole, or they're a little bit warped or whatever, you chop that bit off. But if you bought them in a bag from a shop, you'd throw it all away. People would throw that one away. So you become more invested in what you're actually producing, and you will eat more of it. So there's less food waste, I find, when you grow your own, because you've put your blood, sweat, and tears into it, and you want to make the most of it.
Yeah. And you also maybe take what you want. If you think, I want 5 carrots to go with my Sunday lunch, as you say, instead of buying a bag of a kilo of them, or there might be something you think, oh, that cabbage or that cauliflower, oh, it's just perfect.
Yeah.
I love that. You change your mind. So that's your thing. Yeah, it is a difficult thing. But I mean, I've always enjoyed it. I mean, again, allotments are on there. I mean, certainly over this summer we've had, allotments have suddenly become, they seem to go in a boom and bust. I know we've chatted about this before, where they're a peak, they down. They dropped off a little bit, I think, from when I first spoke to you a few years ago. I mean, they've absolutely flown.
Oh, everybody's growing their own now. The seed sales are up, vegetable plant sales are up, anything to do with the garden is up. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because of the, let's say, when we went into the first lockdown, if you noticed, the things that became really popular were the things that our grandparents used to do. Yeah. So it was gardening, it was sowing, it was baking, it was all these things that take a lot longer and aren't instant result which we're used to, instant gratification. We had the time to actually try something different, and so many people loved baking, sewing, starting their own garden, and it's carrying on now. So it sort of brought them back to what, again, our grandparents had to do it to supplement what they did. We don't. We're treating it more as a hobby, but it's gone back to that slower pace of life rather than everything just having to be instant gratification.
Well, yeah, you can't order a garden off Amazon. Well, not yet.
Exactly. Not yet. Yeah, exactly. Give them five.
It's going to be keeping hold of... It's always got to be the younger generation.
Yeah.
Without being rude, we're middle-aged generation in gardening terms, but it's keeping hold of those. I mean, do you think something like... I mean, horticulture is not on any national curriculum that I know.
No.
I mean, I know they have little garden clubs, and I built them for my own children when they were much younger. In their school, but do you think it is something that could actually be on the curriculum? Because growing your own, you do start to realise you come more in nature with everything around you, the bees, all the insects. You suddenly realise that they're all connected. Everything's connected.
Yeah, it almost wants to be part of the sciences. Because if you imagine like all the biology and everything classes that they do, well, how better a way than growing things in front of you to learn how things work, how things actually evolve, grow, and how the natural world works, but also to give a more rounded education, because there are so many kids that say, I don't like potatoes, and they don't know a chip is a potato. No. They don't know a potato comes from under the ground. They think it grows on a tree or just things like that because they don't see it, they're not necessarily, and they've never experienced it, they don't really know.
You don't know the basic thing, as you say. It's
exactly.
It's that you think that they don't know what a potato is, but I would sit there in my mind and think that's mad. But you actually realise that they don't know what potato is. They think McCain make these fabulous little things that you put in the oven.
Exactly. And where'd you get chips from? The freezer. No, they're from potatoes. You grow them in the ground. No, they come in the freezer.
And what different types do different... I like fluffy potatoes for baking.
Oh, see, this is... Do you know what? This is one thing that I have told people about for years. So it's things like... People just think there are potatoes. That's it. People just think there are onions. That's it. People think there are tomatoes. And that's it. And there are so many different types that are used for a multitude of things, be it from a nice fluffy one for a roasty to a really waxy one for a salad. And then when you're looking at your onions, you've got your brown onions for cooking, you've got your white sweet ones for eating raw, your red ones, your pink ones, your shallots. Yeah. Tomatoes are the same. Everybody says, oh, they love little sweet little cherry tomatoes. They're amazing in a salad, but you try and make a sauce out of it, it's so sweet and watery, it's disgusting because you need more of a flesh ratio, so you need the big cookers. But you wouldn't eat the big cookers raw because they're not very sweet and they're a bit insipid.
No, they're a thing to eat, as you say.
So there are different things within a species to be used for a different purpose. And I think that's what even some gardeners don't understand as well when they're looking at different things.
Yeah, and it depends how they look at it. Yes, you've got to look at it a little bit deeper. I mean, I think that's part of the enjoyment of growing your own. You certainly
absolutely
that there is garlics. Well, there's hundreds of garlics. Some are soft necks, some are hot necks. Some people eat, a lot of people eat elephant garlics and go, well, that's the sort of garlic I like. It's not too garlicky.
Yeah.
There you go. But as you say, it's experimentation. As you say, I suppose that is the fun part of growing your own veggies, actually, looking and seeing all those things out there. And I suppose it's trying.
Exactly.
I think it's the thing. And people don't always want to try. They kind of, that social thing that, oh, this is what kind of somebody says is the way forward.
There are so many people that will say, what should I grow? I've got a new allotment. Yeah. What should I grow? Such and such is saying this on TV. Such and such says that on radio. Such and such says this in a magazine. And it's like, okay, what do you eat? And people look at you gone out and they say, what do you mean? I say, well, what do you eat? What do you enjoy? And what do you cook with? That's what you should be growing. Everyone's growing fantastically beautiful looking chard. If you don't like chard, why would you grow it if it's going to take up a bed? Exactly. Or if you've only got a tiny little raised garden, just because someone's telling you to grow potatoes, why would you grow potatoes? It's going to take the entire plot up. You might as well grow things like chilies or herbs or things that are smaller that have a big flavor, so you don't need to use a lot of them, so you get a lot of a lot worth of the vegetable yeah. out of a small space.
Well, I think it's the same thing. You don't need an acre of garden to have a productive plot. I think it's been proven that you could have a metre square, which isn't actually a massive piece of land. But if you work it well, you can actually have an amazing amount of different things. But it's understanding when to... I mean, I think it's like a lot of things. It's understanding that lettuce are quick, radishes are quick, radishes can grow in between things and stuff like that. I mean, I know the three bean system that people often talk about from, as you say, the kind of like the South Americans people used to do.
Oh, the three sisters.
Three sisters, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're very, but you actually look at them and think, yeah, but they were very, they obviously came across this by handed down, but someone had to experiment. But the basis of it is very clever. Yes, you grow the taller things. And as you say, it's about using the soil. And I think people need to understand also, when we're talking about the biology of things, is actually there's a lot of things in the soil you can't see unless you've got a microscope that actually is as important as what you can. The bees and all insects, wasps are as important as bees in many ways. They all pollinate.
But everything starts with the soil.
Yeah, there are things in the soil. Because are you a no digger or you're a what sort?
No, I must admit, I'm sort of like halfway in between. So on the allotment, I used to dig. Yeah. And I used to dig because I enjoyed it as well. There were certain things that you did at certain times of year, and I used to actually enjoy that. And then... now, because I've got raised beds, it's a bit easier because I don't have to do as much. So I can dig just to get things up, but then I just put manure and compost and stuff on top.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All My Reads gives you unlimited access to more than 100 specialist books, from history to mystery, rockets to royals, planes to trains, bikes to biographies, and much, much more. Access the digital books across multiple devices, including your desktop, tablet, and phone. All My Reads is just $4.99 per month. Visit allmyreads.com to find out more. Browse the extensive range of titles and try your first month for just 99 pence. Get ready to browse and begin.
And I ask everyone this, what's your favourite season, Rob?
Do you know what? That's really difficult because...
difficult on a vegetable. In a garden, maybe they've got a bit more, but on vegetables, there is something all year going on. And
that's the thing with... With veg growing all year round, you can grow stuff all year round, but I love harvesting. Who doesn't? Because that means you get to eat it. I love autumn because you get to start preparing stuff. So if things need fixing, it becomes a bit more DIY season, isn't it? It's when the shed needs fixing or when a pane's blown out in your greenhouse or something like that. So it gets a bit more buildery type of season. And then spring as well, when you start sowing the seeds, I think that's absolutely amazing. It's the first seed that comes up of the year, and it's normally a chili or an onion if you're growing the exhibition onions, and it's just that first little green little hook coming through the soil, and you just think, oh, do you know what, here we go, this is going to be a good season and it's going to be full on.
I think that's the exciting thing for kids when they grow, let's say primary school, is things like when they ask me what I said, well, carrots and things like that, brilliant. They don't need that much looking after, really. But when that little thing comes up, and as you say, the fact we did some colourful ones one year, all the different colours you can get, because it's a bit like carrots. They're not always, well, they never were orange a long time.
No, you've got the white, the purple, the yellow, the red.
I grew some of your you recommended Oxheart ones a few years ago.
The fat ones.
Yeah, oh my lord, I pulled up, they look like little grenades, to be honest. They're very tasty. They're a big old lump. They're not very deep.
Yeah. No.
They're a lovely tasting carrot as well.
They seem to be quite carrot fly resistant as well compared to some. So they're not bred for it, because obviously they're a heritage variety, but they seem to ignore them more, shall we say. And I think that's because they don't have as much foliage as a lot of carrots. So when you get the size of the carrot you pull up, with the amount of leaves you get on it, you think, oh, blimey, that's massive compared to what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because I never realised about carrots. I asked our old friend Terry Walton about that, and he actually doesn't water them once they get past 2 inches. And I never knew that. No, his advice was, stop watering at 2 inches, otherwise all you get is loads of green, fluffy foliage.
Yeah.
It's the same principle that if you keep watering it, it's not going to go looking for water, it's going to go, was there?
Yeah, true.
But, because I asked him a hint about that, and he said, he doesn't water them. I mean, obviously, you can't stop rain getting on them, but he never gives them extra water once they get past 2 inches.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I wonder sometimes, where these heritage varieties, actually, they're still going, but actually, I think people forget their properties they can have. Years ago, people didn't have micro fleece and think all the wonderful things we can do. Yeah. They just did them. Now, as you say, whether these things, the carrot fly has evolved and it's forgotten how to attack some of these things, I doubt it, but I'm sure it'll soon get back on try. But it's very interesting on things like, and the way different people do different things. And I think that's the wonder of it. What works for one person doesn't for the next. I mean, last thing I'll say is there's one good thing about maybe not having an allotment on a site is, unfortunately, if someone gets, for instance, blight at the top or the bottom,
to work its way across,
it will. And if they get a pest, all they generally do on allotments is you move the pest off to someone else. A bit like the deer I was talking about. Basically, he ate all my stuff and then moved on to the next person. So you could actually kind of see where it moved up. So I suppose one advantage of, as you say, growing on your own little patch is you may miss some of these terrible little pests because they may just not spot your little patch.
If they do notice it, there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah,
so.
This is it. But no, I will look forward to watching your garden as it evolves, Rob, because it's lovely what you've been doing. I mean, it must just be very nice to have and actually invest in it, because you know it's not that you're going to be moving allotments in a few years. It is your...
Exactly, yeah.
Enjoying. And I think it comes across, because you're obviously you're quite a flower grower as well, aren't you, to be fair? You've mixed.
Yeah, do you know what? Well. I never used to grow a lot of flowers, but because the new garden is on a slope, the only way to grow on it vegetable-wise was to tier it. So obviously there's a sloping level in between each tier. Now, I didn't want to start trying to grow veg on that, because how do you put fleece or mesh over it, or how do you water it without it all rolling down the hill? So I thought, well, the in-between slopes can be the flower borders, just to try and drag all the insects in. And when you actually see how big they are, because they're probably 2 metres wide by, I think it's about 40 metres long each, and there are three of them.
It's
a heck of a lot of flowers that go in it.
Yeah. The thing is, if you didn't, though, that's a heck of a lot of weeding.
Exactly,
Or a lot of fun mowing.
Yeah, and it does look, and it does, when it's in summer, when everything's starting to bloom, it looks stunning, and it's brilliant. Yeah, I wouldn't change it for the world now, but at first it was interesting learning about all the new shrubs and the flowers and stuff.
Yeah, but I think, again, that's part of it, but it adds to it. I think you need the mix. I was going to say, I can remember my own granddad, because I know that's who kind of got you into gardening, wasn't it?
Yeah, my granddad, yeah.
I can remember my granddad, they used to go up to, I mean, they'd love granddad chrysanthemums and things, now whether they're your cup of tea, but... It wasn't just a vegetable plot. It was a vegetable plot, flower plot. They didn't go down the shop and sell. I saw these at Tesco's.
Yeah.
Other brands available. But you get my meaning. Whereas they were we're growing them. And you didn't get as many flowers in the winter because you just didn't. Summertime. No. It's a summer.
No, that was you only got what you grew.
Yeah. And maybe it's something we need to get back to a little bit, but probably not. Consumerism takes over everything, unfortunately.
Yeah.
back to life. But thank you very much for coming on this, Rob. And
you're very welcome.
As I say, I have no idea how it's going to appear on Kitchen Garden, but it was an idea of Steve's. Because he said, I've done an interview with you, but you're in there all the time. So maybe didn't think it would work as well.
Yeah.
You're in there. So it's his idea. No, I've quite enjoyed it. So
Why not? Yeah, it's been good fun. It might be, people might like the ramblings of two gardeners.
Oh, yeah. You never know. This time next year, Rodney.
Rodney.
Do you want to be Rodney or do you want to be, it's up to you. You
can be I think I'm more like Uncle Albert.
Yeah, you can be Uncle Albert, yeah. To be honest, we've both got the grey bits.
Exactly.
I reckon we're of a similar age, to be honest. Yeah, no, well, I've still got some hair left, but yeah. But mine hasn't gone so grey. Although saying that, I'll look at a picture sometimes and think, I didn't realise my hair was that grey, but it's the on vogue thing to have nowadays.
Exactly.
Pepper, don't they?
You can't pay for it.
Yeah, this is it. But thank you very much for doing this. And as I say, I look forward to seeing you. And I look forward to any books or new projects you've got coming. But good luck with all the stuff on packed lunch, etc.
Thank you very much.
And keep writing for Kitchen Garden and the news magazine. And the last bit of good news is you're slowly catching up Terry Walton on Reads on my website. Your own interview, but you've got a little way to go to him, and I know that's. I did say that to him, and he said,
"Oh, yeah, I need to sabotage him."
Yeah, he says he's got a lot more followers online though. On their Twitter. That's a small thing. Don't worry. But you're slowly catching up, my friend. You're getting there. You just have to keep clicking on it all the time.
Exactly. I'll just have to get one of these bots that just clicks it all the time.
Yeah, or just put a link on somewhere saying, "Oh, you really need to go and look at this, please." But thanks very much for doing this. And I say, stay safe, and hopefully speak to you in the future at some point again.
Yeah, all right.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe to Kitchen Garden Prime for just $4.99 per month. You'll be getting a whole lot for your plot, including an easy-read tablet and phone edition to read anywhere, anytime, exclusive access to 10 years of digital back issue archives, access to exclusive content from the online allotment, the Mudketeers website, plus the monthly print magazine will be delivered free to your door each month. Head to classicmagazines.co.uk/KGPrime to sign up today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.